We're talking with Elliot Engel, New York's 16th District Democrat in office since 1989, went to a great public college, Hunter College in the Bronx, and me too. And Elliot, let me start. Here you have risen to the ranking member. If the Democrats take the Congress, the House of Representatives, you're going to be the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. You ever think about that?
I think about it all the time. It'll be like a dream come true. You know, I'm still a kid from the Bronx. I mean, always lived in the Bronx. And as you mentioned, went to Hunter College in the Bronx. Hunter became Lehman College. And when I was there, since I took the five-year plan, when I was there for my fifth year, the school changed over to Lehman. So I was actually part of the first graduating class of Lehman College. And then 25 years later, they asked me to give the keynote speech at graduation, which was really cool to have someone from the first class give a speech to the students from the 25th class.
They still do get out on the lawn, or are they inside?
Well, they did it then. That was 1993, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure they still do it. I think the public colleges, which by the way, I think are very important because we want to make sure that people can go to college. We want to make sure that people aren't paying student debt off forever, which in one way takes me over to this horrific, terrible tax bill that the Republicans are putting forward, because a lot of the students right now that are able to deduct some of this money that they owe for college loans are going to be banned from it. As from what we're here, I haven't seen a hard copy of the bill, but are going to be banned for it. When, you know, when I went to the City University, when I went to Hunter College, when you went there, it was free. I remember they used to have a $25 or $26 or $29 student fee, and everybody complained about it. It was free, and now it's relatively inexpensive and not free anymore. And of course, they're talking about reinstating free colleges, and anything that we can do, I think, to guarantee. And there are some private colleges also that do wonderful work in the Bronx as well. Monroe College comes to mind, and of course, Lehman and some of the other schools as well, Academy of Mount St. Vincent's and Manhattan College. You know, the Bronx used to be called the Borough of Universities. That's when NYU campus was there, and then it became Bronx Community College, that campus. So we've done well in the Bronx, and I hope that we'll continue to do even better.
Let's go back to the foreign affairs work that you're doing. As the ranking member, you have to stay on top of all of that. So I'll name a couple of things. Tell me what you think. Jerusalem.
I agree with moving the capital. I voted for the bill which moved the capital, which moved the American embassy to Jerusalem, supposedly, 22 years ago. We voted for the bill. The bill contained what's called a waiver, which most bills like this have to have, which means the president can waive it for a six-month period or whatever it is. And it's been waived several times by several presidents for the past 22 years. And I think it's ridiculous because it subverts what the Congress wanted. And I'm glad, there's not much that Donald Trump has done with which I agree, but I certainly agree with this because it's time. The State of Israel was founded in 1948, and Jerusalem has been its capital since then, where they have their parliament building called the Knesset, where the prime minister stays, where the cabinet ministers are there. Their seat of government is clearly in Jerusalem. The Palestinians have lived in East Jerusalem. This is in West Jerusalem. And the American embassy could and should, and I hope will, move to West Jerusalem near the Knesset. So there's no question about any disputes about Jerusalem, because this was always Israel's capital. I think that people who say it'll make it more difficult to get peace, maybe we could have said that 20 years ago or 25 years ago, but you know, there's been no moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, and there's no peace. Twice there was peace plans that came out pretty much in full or nearly full, one under the Prime Minister Ehud Barak and one under Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. And both times the Israelis agree or set to agree, and the Palestinians pulled out. So, you know, I don't really feel sympathetic to the fact that the Palestinians never, you know, pulled the trigger, so to speak, on a peace deal, and now they're complaining that this is going to stop peace from happening. Well, you know, they ought to try peace. They might like it. All it does is you have to have both parties sit face to face with no preconditions and try to hammer it out. But unfortunately, in my estimation, the Palestinians have used terrorism and other things, incitement, to try to rile up their people. And that's, of course, destructive. It's destructive for Israel. It's also destructive for the Palestinians. So I think what the president did was follow the wishes of Congress. It's really a fait accompli anyway. And Israel has a right to declare its capital. West Jerusalem is not really disputed at all. And it's as if some country wanted to recognize us and said, we're going to put our embassy in Chicago. And we wouldn't like that. We'd say, no, our capital is Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So I think Israel has the right to feel the same way. Their capital is Jerusalem. The embassy should be in Jerusalem. And I can't think of anything better than the United States, which is the best friend Israel has, being among the first to put their embassy in Jerusalem. There had been other countries in the past that had their embassies in Jerusalem, but through pressure, international pressure, they removed it and put it in other places. We will have to withstand any kind of pressure, and I frankly don't think the Palestinians are in a position to dictate anything. I believe in a two-state solution. I always have, and I feel that's the key to peace. So I do support a you know, Palestinian Arab state next to an Israeli Jewish state, living side by side in peace, a demilitarized Palestinian state. And I think and I hope that it can be hashed out. But every time there are negotiations, they seem to break down. And from what I can see, they break down because the Palestinians make these demands on the right of return and all kinds of things to have thousands of people come back to Israel who claim that territory was lost by their great-grandfather in 1948. Well, there's no end to that. So if they want peace, they can have it, I'm sure, but they've got to really want it. And I think this incitement that they do, you know, whipping up people, if it make demonstrations, doesn't help anybody. It certainly doesn't help the Palestinians, in my estimation. But I hope that there will be a two-state solution. And I look forward to visiting the American embassy when it's finally moved to Jerusalem, Israel's capital.
So I have
the eternal capital of the Jewish people, let me say, as well.
Indeed, next year in Jerusalem. Let me ask you this. We got about 3 minutes for North Korea. It's not enough, but give us something.
Well, North Korea is probably the most dangerous place on Earth right now. Successive administrations in the United States have not dealt with it correctly, so we allowed them to get where they are today, which is they're essentially a nuclear power, and they're getting stronger and better at it all the time with the missiles they've launched over Japan. The estimation is that the last missile that they launched could potentially hit the East Coast, could hit Washington. There's all kinds of talk about Guam, which is an American territory that North Korea could hit. So we have, you know, let ourselves, put ourselves in a undesirable position because while in any war, and I hope there's not, but in any war, the United States can certainly win it against North Korea. The question is, what would North Korea do in the interim? They have nuclear weapons, so they could potentially nuke South Korea, the capital of South Korea's Seoul, and it's only about 35 miles away from North Korea. So while the United States is you know, busy, would be busy getting ready to defeat them, they could, you know, wreak havoc and destruction on the people of Seoul. Some people say hundreds of thousands. Some people even say a million people could perish in something like that. So we have to be very, very, very careful. And the way to do it, if frankly, is not to insult the president of North Korea, the leader of North Korea, who's an absolute jerk. I mean, he's just an absolute, he's scary. But I don't think the president of the United States should, you know, call him names and play tit for tat. And we need the help of China, and we need the help of Russia, China especially. China holds a lot of the financial needs of North Korea, and China also, as far as energy, is very important for North Korea. So there's ways of squeezing North Korea, but it's going to take China to work with us. And, you know, China and the United States are not exactly best of friends. So it's very, very tricky. But I know one thing. You don't call names. That doesn't do anything. That's what a kindergarten person should do.
We've been talking on the Congressional Corner today with Congressman Elliot Engel of New York's 16th District, a Democrat. Thank you so much, Elliot. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this, and then we'll go somewhere else.